video survey for deaf adolescents, and I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Patrice Joyner, who will be co-presenting with me, Elizabeth Eckhart, and Roberta Berry. We were funded by National Institute on Deafness and Communication Disorders, and we'd like to thank them. Introduction. It's essential to survey all subpopulations who might be at risk of acquiring HIV to determine their HIV knowledge, attitudes, and risk behaviors. Adolescents are an at-risk population, and deaf youth are part of this group. Yet, they have been very rarely been surveyed, and almost never in American Sign Language. There are difficulties that we have found in surveying deaf populations. Other people have found the same. Especially deaf people who use American Sign Language as their main mode of communication. American Sign Language, or ASL, has no written form, so you can't write out the survey in ASL. ASL has a syntax and grammar which are unlike English, so it may be difficult to translate directly. Some deaf persons read poorly. The average reading level of graduates of high schools for the deaf is about someplace around 4th or 5th or 6th grade. And also, people who use ASL may or may not understand English idioms. This is because they may not use much spoken English and they read poorly, so they're unfamiliar with those idioms. And deaf culture has norms which differ from the majority hearing culture. Not all deaf people affiliate with deaf culture, but a lot of them do. An example would be that deaf culture is somewhat warmer, I'd say, than the general hearing culture. People who haven't seen each other in a long while will routinely hug upon meeting. There are other cultures which do that too. When you are in contact with someone by email or signing or speaking on Thursday or Friday, you routinely wish someone a great weekend. I don't find that in most hearing culture. Our problem was how to survey deaf youth about their HIV knowledge and risk. And deaf youth are at risk, as are hearing youth, but they have fewer sources of information about HIV. Why? Well, historically, deaf schools had lower levels or were later adopters of sex education than other schools. Some was due to the religious auspices under which the school ran. And some, I must say, seems to be due to paternalistic attitudes. Some hearing people see deafness as a disability, which deaf people don't see, and I don't see. And they thought that people who were disabled were less likely to have sex. Again, probably completely untrue. But therefore, they didn't feel the need to educate their youth about it. And deaf youth have fewer opportunities than others to learn about HIV. The radio is inaccessible, and they may not understand television captions or what they see on the internet if it's written. So our objective was to develop a method for surveying deaf adolescents who use ASL as their main mode of communication about their HIV knowledge, attitudes, and risk behavior. And now I'm going to turn the next portion over to Patrice Joyner.
Developed our
Thank you, Patrice. Here are some preliminary results. These are actually as of this September, but we now have 247 people in the database. So this was just the first 157, and this is just really preliminary. The five schools. As you see, the age range is 14 to 21, and the mean age was 17.7, and median age was 18. Now, these are older than the average high school students that you might expect, but deaf schools tend to keep their students until the maximum allowed if they haven't completed high school, because they want them to complete high school. Okay, some demographics. You can see more identified as deaf than hard of hearing. We had almost equal numbers of males and females, and that a substantial number are commuters. Now, that's actually a big change, because initially most schools for the deaf were residential schools, so that's a change in the last number of years. This is the racial identity and sexual identity. And I'm not going to talk about it, because this is all going to change as we proceed through the, collecting more students. I would like to talk about the HIV knowledge. We had on this survey 13 items, and the mean number correct was 6.9, and the median number was 7. So they really did not know very much. I particularly wanted to highlight the third question, which you saw on the screen. If a person becomes sick with AIDS at age 21, could that person have gotten HIV when they were a teenager? And that's an important question, because we do want to know whether the kids perceive themselves to be at risk. Okay, sources of HIV information. And you can see that school and internet, newspapers and magazines were in the top number there. The students could name up to five sources, and the more sources named, the higher the knowledge score, except for TV that didn't seem to do anything to raise the score. And each named source raised the score by 1 point, except for this internet, newspapers, and magazines category that raised it by 2. And that may be an effect of having used a collective group, and it may also be that the kids who named that source could read better than the others. In another question, 72% reported receiving HIV prevention information in school. And if this question is considered alone, that is without school being one of the named sources in the question before, it is a significant predictor of HIV knowledge score. So they're learning something in school, and maybe that the school should be teaching them more. Risk behavior, and we have just begun to analyze this. 62% reported some sexual experience. And as with other youth surveys, we're not sure of their own definition of sex. That's always a question. But we calculated that 62% by counting a yes for an affirmative to any sexual activity that we asked about, with your girlfriend or boyfriend, with friends who are not romantic partners, with a male, with a female. So that was sort of the maximum. 23% reported having had anal sex, which it might be unusual and it might not be unusual. And while it's true that students identifying as gay or bisexual are more likely to report this behavior, there were very few of those students who identified that way. So the rate was actually 22% saying yes to anal sex in the whole sample. And 15% reported having a sexual partner who was 5 or more years older than they are. Again, that's not surprising given the older age of the sample, but it does represent an HIV risk. Conclusions. HIV knowledge is low among deaf high school students attending high schools for the deaf right now. In our sample, 75% reported learning about HIV in school, but that's as compared to a national average of 88% of kids who report learning about it in school. And rates of sexual activity are comparable to those in the hearing population, given the older age of our sample. We can't make an exact comparison, but it's pretty close to what the junior-senior rates were in another study. This methodology may have applications to other low literacy populations. With the addition of sound for hearing populations, this method could be used to deliver oral surveys with the support of pictures and graphics. This could be particularly useful for new immigrants, some of whom read and write in their native language and others of whom don't. And this survey, this method could encompass multiple languages on a single computer. The survey method has some advantages. It is standardized, which it would not be in our case with the deaf students with an ASL interpreter. It's self-administered and it's private, yet it's also interactive with the videotaped interviewer. In this case, technology provided a solution to meeting the needs for a survey of deaf youth. In the future, we hope to see other applications of this type of survey. Thank you.